The beating that he took, no one would deserve that beating. It ended up being about 5 police officers who were either, if they weren't hitting him at the time, they were holding him so that he could be brutally beaten, to the point where you could see officers holding Tyree down on the ground and repositioning themselves so that another officer could kick him in his face. The kickings took place time and time again, and then out comes the baton. Hey, everybody, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Safe Nation. I am here today to talk about a topic that I hate to even discuss, but I feel like it's important that we talk about it. I know everyone's been giving their own opinions on this, and I'm referring to the tragic death of Tyree Nichols in Memphis, Tennessee. Tyree was a 29-year-old black male who was stopped by the Memphis Police Department on January 7th, 2023. He was stopped by members of a unit that they refer to as the Scorpion Unit. Now, this is a specialized unit put together by Police Chief C.J. Davis. And this unit was put together like so many others are around the nation. It was put together to curb crime and to do something about these spikes in crime in certain areas throughout the city. And while they had great success when they were implemented in 2021, something has gone tragically wrong, apparently. But Tyree was stopped on the night of January 7th. Police approached his door. They ended up pulling him out of the vehicle, putting him on the ground. There was a bit of a struggle that ensued. Tyree jumped up. He was able to begin running away. When they caught up with him is when it really got bad. They beat him like I've never seen anyone beaten before. The beating that he took, no one would deserve that beating. It ended up being about 5 police officers who were either, if they weren't hitting him at the time, they were holding him so that he could be brutally beaten, to the point where you could see officers holding Tyree down on the ground and repositioning themselves so that another officer could kick him in his face. The kickings took place time and time again, and then out comes the baton. Again, the officers positioned themselves so they wouldn't get struck by the baton, but instead they were emboldened enough, this officer was emboldened enough to hit Tyree with a baton. They beat him almost to death at the scene. However, he did not die at the scene. He ended up dying days later at the hospital. It's sickening. So there's a lot of scrutiny, a great deal of commentary, as there should be in instances like this. The part that I want to discuss and dive into is going to be based on my experience and from what I've seen. And I want to talk about when we have these specialized units, what happens a lot of times. I don't blame Chief Davis at all for putting together a unit. In fact, I would have done the same exact thing, because something has to be done about the spike in crime in those most crime-ridden areas of these cities. So I don't blame her not one bit. One thing I will say, and this is, I know it sounds like I'm going to be painting with a broad brush here, but I'm making a generalized statement. And so for the law enforcement leaders who are listening, I'm hoping that this will compel you to take a look, do an evaluation if you have these units. If you have these units stood up in your departments, this is the time now, when your name is not at the headlines of such a tragic incident, to take a look at it. This is the time to do it now. On these units, what happens a lot of times is they're pulled together. it's explained to them what the problems are. Everybody knows where the problem areas are in a particular city. And they'll pull together the most aggressive officers they can find. Now, don't be afraid about this word aggressive that I just used. What I'm talking about when I say aggressive, I mean some of the most active officers, some of the officers who will be proactive. You don't have to give them that extra nudge for them to actually go out and do their jobs. Most of the time they're out there doing it. But a lot of times these are the officers who walk that very thin line between what is within policy and what's not within policy. Sometimes we can look at a highly active officer, the one who's making the most arrests, the one who's maybe even got officer of the year the previous couple of years. Sometimes they're still not always the ones you want on this team, or at least not necessarily. What I'm saying is you're going to have the right supervisor, and that person needs to be handpicked. That needs to be a person with a whole lot of character. They need to have enough of a following and enough respect to where they're going to be able to manage that team without resistance from the team. You've got to handpick these supervisors. They need to tell you the truth. They need to share with you what they need in terms of resources, in terms of additional manpower, additional training. If they have any problem officers that they've identified, they cannot sweep things under the rug. They have to be someone that you trust wholeheartedly, and they have to be a person of integrity to the point where they're following policy and they're following law. That's your supervisor for those specialized units. They cannot allow members of the unit to just run rogue and do whatever unsupervised. These guys can get out of hand, and what happens is they end up getting tunnel vision. And when they get tunnel vision, they'll do exactly what these Memphis police officers did to Tyree. They get caught up in a situation. They get tunnel vision. They start swinging their fists, swinging batons, and kicking. And there's not one person that can at least step back for a second and say, wait a minute, he's had enough. This is too much. And begin pulling people off. That's what should have happened. But none of that took place. They all jumped in on it and they all had something to do with it. I am sick about it. I am sick to my stomach about it. It's an embarrassment to law enforcement. It's a major setback to the strides that have been made by the good officers who are out here every single day trying to do the right thing, bridging this gap between the community, as we continue to say. There's a lot of work that's been put into this. We absolutely don't need officers to use this same method and this same example. But it's happening out here, guys. I'm asking the law enforcement leadership to send an extremely clear message to members of these specialized units. Be very clear about what the mission is. Be very clear about what the agency's policy is. Make doggone sure they know what constitutional rights mean and what it looks like when you, as an officer of the law, as you violate people's rights. They need to understand what the consequences are. When mixed messages are sent, one night they'll get a pat on the back for making the most arrest. And you, as the law enforcement leader, it doesn't matter to you how they got it done. You just want to turn a blind eye. All you want to know is, hey, I need those stats by first thing in the morning. I need to get those stats up and get them so I can compile them so we can send them to the news media. How many felony arrests did we make? How many cars did we stop? What's more important? How they got it done, that needs to matter as well. We don't need these officers running rogue out here, y'all. We cannot do it. What can we do about it? random review. I say it all the time, random review of video, all available video for these guys. Begin to watch how they do business on a day-to-day, on a day-to-day. They don't need to know that you're looking. It doesn't matter, because if you're doing the right thing, it's not going to matter. And if you see something, you have to address it right then. Do not wait. Don't wait for a complaint to come in. It may be too late by then. We don't need anybody to tell us when somebody's doing the wrong thing. If they do, that's great. But if what I'm saying is, if we see it first, we need to handle our business and get it taken care of. Follow up by delving out appropriate discipline. Some of these guys have been put on these units too soon. Do not give me a guy that's been on out of the academy for 3 years, for 3 months or 6 months. Don't give me that guy to put on this team. That's not who I want to deal with. Give me someone who has established themselves within the area that they've been assigned to work. Give me someone who understands what the policies are. Give me someone who understands the agency. Okay? Give me someone who respects the community and has had an opportunity to show me that. That's who I want on these teams. I've seen it happen. And so why am I so passionate about it? Yeah, I've been chewed out before by leadership regarding these specialized units. When I've seen some things, when it comes down to knowing that these individuals need discipline, and I say something about it because of certain policy violations that they're allowed to get away with. Why? Because they've been put on this elite specialized team. So they get a chance to violate certain policies without anything being said to them or without the same discipline being delved down to them. Meanwhile, the rest of the agency, the rest of the officers are looking at them like, what the heck? Why didn't they get the same discipline that someone who's not on the unit got? Why is it okay? It's not okay. That's what I'm telling you. It's not. It's not. Please do a thorough check of these units. They are out here and they're out of control. Nobody out of that group in Memphis took a step back to have a bird's eye view to say, whoa, wait a minute. We are dogpiling this guy and he's defenseless. He called for his mama, for God's sake. When you see a man that calls for his mama, who was only a few houses down, by the way, I wish she had been able to hear him, and I know that she does too. I wish somebody could have heard him. Maybe they would have distracted these officers for a minute until they could come to their senses. But when you have a grown man calling for his mama, just like George Floyd did, he knew it was the end. He was helpless and he's calling for somebody who cares about him, loves him unconditionally. That's why he called for his mama. There was nothing else he could do. What's worse, when it's over with, this little conversation that took place, first of all, let me just say that was a bad acting job on behalf of those officers that felt like we were so stupid and ignorant enough that we didn't know he was acting for the camera. Once he realized what he had done, he's trying to cover up all of the missteps that took place by giving us this commentary about this whole reckless driving situation that he says that Tyree did. He's trying to give this really fast account of what took place. When they begin to do that, they realize that they are on camera. They realize it. Yeah. And they're trying to cover their tracks. They're trying to get it documented. So see, I told y'all what happened. I got it right there. It's on video. So now he's starting to build his case. Man, give me a break. It's just an insult. I'm disgusted by it. I feel like you have set back all of the hard work that's been done. I don't know. I just don't know, guys. I'm disgusted. I really am. And so for these teams, law enforcement leadership, please send a crystal clear message. A crystal clear message, because guess what? All of this crime fighting can be done within the confines of policy. It can still be done. And I know you've heard me say before that crime is a dirty job. Sometimes you got to get your hands dirty. Let me be very clear. What I mean by that, you can still do crime fighting without violating people's rights. You can still do crime fighting. When I say you got to get your hands dirty, I mean that there are times when you do have to use force. You do have to use force sometimes. Everyone is not going to go willingly all the time. But there's a way to do it. I am extremely disappointed in these officers. Most of them have only been on for maybe and served for maybe a couple of years, anywhere between, I believe, 2 and 6 years. They know better. They did it so easily because they've seen it done before. And I know people always say, well, we got to look at the training. Yeah, we're always examining our training. You should always examine your training. But this was not taught to them in anybody's training academy. I can tell you that right now. This is some stuff you learn from bad cops out on the street. This is some stuff that you learn by little, seeing what you can get away with, little by little. This is the end result of it. This is what happens when you don't have a supervisor who is checking them the way that they should check them. I'm talking about that immediate supervisor. Some of you have heard me say all of this before, but this puts it all in perspective. Much respect to the men and women of the Memphis Police Department, the ones who are out here getting it right. This has given unfortunate but necessary attention to this particular incident that's taking place. I'm not going to get on here and I'm not going to speak to every single incident every time, because guess what? Unfortunately, there are far too many of them. It happens far too often. But I felt compelled to say something about these units and how we're putting these units together and what should be expected and the monitoring of these units. I've seen it happen. So what I'm talking about there is not specific to just Memphis. It's going on in your agencies. If you're listening to me and you're a law enforcement officer and you know it is. You know what? Sometimes it's so bad that even the officers assigned to it, whenever they get off of those specialized units, for whatever reason, they have the nerve to come out with an attitude. They have an attitude because they still want to continue to do that sort of patrolling. They want to be able to get away with doing whatever they want to do. They're so savvy and so creative that they know how to craft their reports in such a way to where it makes it look like they're right all the time. And that's a whole nother thing. When you're looking at those videos, it's not just about watching and analyzing video footage. But go ahead and pull the report that goes along with that incident. So now you have the video camera footage and you have the incident report. And while you're at it, pull the CAD log and any other documentation that you can get. Do a cross-reference. If that incident report does not contain some important elements that should be on there, then you're going to have to go ahead and check it, and you need to get that handled. That's called cover-ups. Yeah, that's covering things up right there. That's creating that culture to continue it, to allow for that to be the culture of your agency. is sickening. I don't know what the families of these officers are thinking right now. They have to be embarrassed. If they've got kids, they have to be embarrassed. This was not honorable. It was not the right thing to do. It's absolutely appalling. It's unacceptable. I applaud Chief Davis for carrying out the due process for the officers and also moving swiftly to her and her team. I applaud that in her as a police chief. No chief wants this to be their agency. No one does. But when it's found, when it's discovered, they're going to do the hard things. They're going to do those hard jobs. That was a hard job to let those five go. It was hard because it was her agency with her oversight. On the other hand, it was not hard because guess what? She was just able to weed out some of the bad ones. Lord knows, I wish she could have done it before it came to this. We've talked about the team members, what that needs to look like. We've talked about the importance of that immediate supervisor and the characteristics of that individual. We've talked about law enforcement leadership sending a very clear message about the mission, not going back and forth, patting them on the back one night, but then not wanting to know how they're getting their job done the next night. We've talked about doing cross-referencing, checking body cam footage, reading incident reports, taking a look at all other documentation that you can get your hands on. We've also discussed what it looks like when you take matters into your own hands and not have to wait on a complaint to come in. These sorts of units get complaints all the time. It's not uncommon for them to get complaints because they're out there and they are supposed to be getting the worst of the worst. So it's not uncommon, but every single complaint that does come in truly needs to be looked into. If there's any validity to it, it has to be handled. Guys, we got to do better. It is so hard to try and convince people, convince the community that you're for them and you're out here beating them down like dogs in the street. Let up, bruh. Really, like at some point, you got to stop. You need to get a hold of yourself. If you cannot use the amount of force that is necessary to effect the arrest and only that amount, you're in the wrong profession. I'm telling you right now, because you have no control, none, zero. Do better. We're better than this. I'm still saying we because I spent 30 years doing it in the profession. Let's do better, guys. Now we're looking at five Memphis officers charged with murder. I don't know how it's going to play out. The whole world is watching it now to see how it's going to play out. But I pray for justice for Tyree Nichols. I pray for peace in our communities. Nothing will be able to restore and bring back Tyree. Nothing. I pray for peace for the family and comfort for the family. That's all I got, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Safe Nation. safety, security, and law enforcement. See you guys next time. Be safe, y'all.